Hello and welcome to our podcast. I'm Neve, my co-star is Eunice and tech is Rose. Shortly, Eunice will be interviewing Rose, but now it's me interviewing Andy Lim.
Thanks for joining us today. We're just going to ask you a couple of questions about your job. So first and foremost, what is your job and what does that involve?
My name is Andrew Lim. My job title is Assistant Chief Executive at Cambridge City Council. And that involves trying to help make sure the council runs efficiently and delivers all the services that the people of Cambridge need.
So what does a typical day of work look like for you?
Lots of meetings. I have a lot of meetings with colleagues across the council. So there's lots of different bits of the council that do all the different services. So there's housing, planning, streets and open spaces, which keeps everything clean and tidy and safe. Lots of different services like that. And my job is to make sure that they're all thinking about how they do their job most efficiently, but also thinking about climate change. So how we think about making sure that Cambridge is reducing its harmful emissions and also preparing for different kinds of sorts of weather in the future. Also trying to think about equalities and inclusion, making sure that people from all over the world feel safe and welcome here and that people of different kind of backgrounds feel comfortable to live their lives in Cambridge. And also thinking about how we make people who are less well off feel that they can live their lives comfortably in Cambridge as well. Cambridge is the most unequal city in the UK. So while there are some very wealthy people in Cambridge, there are also a lot of people who are struggling, don't have a lot of income, and my job is partly about making sure that they can get the things they need to live their lives well as well.
Okay, you mentioned climate change. So are you doing a lot for that, or is it?
Yeah, Cambridge City Council does an awful lot around climate change. So we have a lot of buildings like the Guildhall, the Corn Exchange, and lots of community centres, like the Charlie Hinton Village Centre and other things like that. So we're trying to reduce the amount of energy we use there and particularly to take out fossil fuels and we reduce our emissions for that. We're buying some electric bin lorries so that they can run off clean energy rather than diesel and various things like that across the whole of the council's building. So the swimming pools, things like Parkside Swimming Pool, we've taken out some of the gas boilers there and put in new renewable energy and things like that. So we're doing lots of things to try and improve the environment, as well as planting lots of trees, looking after nature reserves and all things like that. So trying to maintain biodiversity as well and keep Cambridge playing its part in protecting the planet.
Do you have a favourite part of your job?
Favourite part of my job is helping people. That's why I went into the job in the first place. Ideally helping all the people of Cambridge, but particularly those who are most in need. But also sometimes the colleagues I work with. Now I'm getting older and more experienced in my job, I can help some of the younger people kind of learn about their jobs and become better and happier at what they do as well. And that's the best bit, seeing people kind of grow and be more confident and so on. So yeah, that's good.
So with natural disasters and stuff, do you get a lot of asylum seekers coming? Or not that many.
Yeah, Cambridge has always been a place that's welcomed people who are fleeing dangerous situations in their country, fleeing persecution. So you may not know that the University of Cambridge was founded by people who were fleeing religious persecution in the 13th century. Cambridge has welcomed people who were fleeing the Holocaust in the 1930s and 40s, and more recently people from Afghanistan, Syria, and this year Ukraine. And Cambridge has been a place that's been particularly welcoming to people who need somewhere safe to live. And that includes housing a lot of families from Ukraine. And we're very proud to keep up that tradition and try and make Cambridge a place that, you know, is welcoming to everyone from around the world. Did you want to ask about the election, Andrew said?
we're going to ask about elections.
Okay, go for it.
And how are you involved in that? Or if you are at all.
Okay, so I'm responsible for the team that manages all the elections that take place in Cambridge. So that's not just elections for the City Council, but also for the County Council, also for Parliament, the Mayor of Cambridgeshire and Peterborough, the Police and Crime Commissioner for Cambridgeshire and Peterborough. So we manage all of those elections. And that's quite a big job, more than a lot of people realise, because in order to be able to vote, obviously you have to be of the right age and have the right kind of qualifications, criteria. But lots of people come to Cambridge every year and lots of people leave. So we have to maintain a list of people who are entitled to vote. That's called the electoral register. And that's quite a big job all the year round. Whenever people arrive in Cambridge, we want them to register to vote so that they can vote. We want everybody who's entitled to vote. Then when it comes to the election day, we have to kind of set up polling stations all around the city. And as the city's got bigger and bigger in recent years, that means we need to keep finding new places to use as polling stations. So I don't know whether you know, in Cherry Hinton, there's the church, St Andrew's Church is used as a polling station, but also the village centre and lots of other places around the city. So my team have to kind of ask people for permission to use their buildings. And then when it comes to it, you have a team of people who are working on the election. They'll come and set up. They'll have to make sure that all the desks and the booths and everything's in the right place, all the right information's available, everybody knows how to vote. People who've got visual impairments can be supported to kind of, you know, find the ballot paper and vote and so on. This year, there's a new requirement the government has introduced for everyone to have photo ID when they come to vote. That's something different. We haven't had that before in England. So we're very keen that people understand that. So we're trying to communicate that at the moment, put out lots of adverts and stuff to kind of remind people they've got to bring their passport or their driving license. And if they haven't got the right kind of ID, they can apply for the proper kind of documentation in advance. So it's a very complicated thing. But at the end of the day, when everybody's put their cross on the piece of paper and put it in the ballot box and so on, those all get taken off to the place where we count the votes. In the last couple of years, we've used the University Sports Centre on the west of Cambridge. And they tip out all the boxes with all the bits of paper, and then we go through the job of counting up how many people have voted for who, and then you come to a result at the end of the night and see who's been elected. So it can take all night or maybe the next day, and it includes hundreds of people working on it, and it's a really big kind of job, but it's the beating heart of democracy. It's the thing that gives everybody in Cambridge their chance to vote and elect the people they want to be their representatives who make the decisions about what the council's going to do, or when it's the MP, who the MP's going to be. So. Yeah, it's really, we think, really important.
So if you count them all out manually, have you recently considered maybe going more like electric just to make it a little bit faster?
Well, it's entirely reasonable that you should suggest that. Having sat through many elections now where people are literally physically counting bits of paper, it does seem rather medieval at times that we're doing that. But the legislation, it's for the whole country. So we can't just decide to go to an electronic voting thing. So I know everybody's used to voting on their phone for, reality TV and everything else. Kind of people are used to kind of voting. But when it comes to elections, for proper government bodies and the council or parliament or whatever, it has to be done on bits of paper at the moment. I don't know whether that will change in the future. Some countries around the world have gone towards electronic voting. People are worried about fraud and being hacked and, cybersecurity and that kind of stuff. So we don't want to take the chance. When you've got a big pile of paper, you can see all the votes. You can see who's voted for which candidate. And the candidates or their agents are entitled to come and watch us to make sure that, you know, we're putting the bits of paper in the right box and the right tray and so on. So it's kind of foolproof the way we do it at the moment. Whereas electronic voting would be quicker and easier in many, many ways, but you'd just always be worried, I think, at the moment about the hacking and fraud kind of aspect of it. So we haven't gone there yet, but who knows? Maybe one of you will invent some super secure system and we'll live in the 21st century. Who knows?
And just one final question. If someone was interested in the work you do, how could they get involved or just learn a bit more about it?
Well, before COVID, certainly, we used to have people come and do work experience at times. So I know in year 10 at school, people do a week or so's work experience, and that's a possibility to explore. More realistically, I suppose, when people are looking for a job, we have apprenticeships. So people can come and learn a skill or a trade or something working for the council. We're delighted to have people come and take on apprenticeships or just apply for a job. They're all advertised on our website, and we'd love to have more local people come and apply for our jobs and work with us. But there are other things that you can get involved in. So in terms of a lot of community organisations work with the council and kind of do good things for the community. And we give grants to kind of community organisations to do interesting stuff. So people, if they've got a great idea around climate change or biodiversity, they can apply for a grant to do that kind of thing and work in their communities with their friends and neighbours and families or schools. Look after local nature reserves. We support the people who look after Cherrington Brook and this kind of stuff, which has got some really interesting wildlife living there now. It's getting cleaned up. So there's some great things you can do, and we'd be delighted to work with any group that wants to kind of come forward and talk to us about that.
Right. Thank you for joining us today. And I hope you have a lovely evening. But that's all.
Thanks very much.
That was me interviewing Andy Lim, and now it's Eunice interviewing Rose.
Hi everyone, I'm Eunice, and I'm interviewing Rose about her favourite book. So hi Rose.
Hi.
Yeah. So what's your favourite book?
My favourite book is Harry Potter, without hesitation.
Okay, do you have a particular favourite, or is it just the whole series?
The Goblet of Fire.
Oh, yeah.
I just love everyone's hair.
I just love everyone's hair, okay. Why is it your favourite book, apart from the hair?
the characters, their personalities, the adventures. It's so original. Timeline. I love the 1980s.
In my opinion, best era, ABBA.
And
the Beatles and everything.
Okay, we're talking about books. So, do you have a favourite character?
Ooh, I won't say Harry Potter, because, you know.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for either Hermione or Ginny.
Yeah, personally, I generally prefer Hermione, but you know, I'm going to leave my opinions out of this. I suppose
when Ron is confronting Seamus Finnegan, Ron and Harry are confronting Seamus Finnegan in the Gryffindor common room about his mum and the Daily Prophet. I can't remember it fully, but it's quite a good scene in my head. In my head.
In your head. Okay. So do you like the books better than the films or the film better than the books? Just ask.
I love them both equally.
Over the whole series, is your favourite character still the same as in that one book?
I think my favourite character actually gets stronger. Like, at the start of the books, I quite like Hermione. At the end, she's just like
amazing.
I love you.
Yeah, so. Okay, thank you for your time.
You shouldn't say thank you for your time. I'm going to be here all the time.
Okay, sure. Thank you for your time. I hope you have a lovely evening.
You too.
Bye.
That was Eunice interviewing Rose. Thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoyed. And finally, I'm Neve, my co-star was Eunice, and tech support was Rose.